Let's open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, 22nd chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 22, your Schofield Bible, page 343. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read responsively through verse 8. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 8, page 343. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth, and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made me league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? And let's pray. Father, what you would be pleased to do, help our hearts to be hungry for exactly that. Grant thy blessing, thy power upon our preacher, upon this service. May our attention be focused exactly upon that which is going on, that which is being preached. And give us carefulness to digest every word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where did David get his mighty men? Where did David get his mighty men? Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd come in power in this room and do thou work in our hearts in a special way. Thousands of people are here. Probably 7,000 people in this room tonight are watching on closed circuit television, the fellowship hall, or up behind the balconies, in the hallways. And I pray tonight not a one of us will go home without being reminded we're recipients of the greatest love known to man, the love of God. Speak to our hearts. Do thou work in this room and also in the hearts of all the people here. In Jesus' name, amen. David is on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, he decides he wants to list his mighty men. Men outstanding in battle. David has led many an army. He's had many a general, many a colonel, many a captain, many a lieutenant, many a sergeant. David has had many men valiant in warfare. But he chooses just a few. And he calls them by name, some of them, and others he leaves without calling their names. He begins to list them. We're not going to turn to it, but we're in the 23rd chapter, 2 Samuel. He lists Adino. What did Adino do? Adino took a spear, and with that one spear, he killed 800 men in battle. He then lists Eliezer. What did Eliezer do? Eliezer single-handedly won a battle. The Bible says that he fought so hard That is, when he got his, when the battle was over, they couldn't even get his hand out off the sword. His hand clave to the sword, and they had to pry his hand from the sword. David is dying. He thinks of those mightiest men of battle. He's had some mighty men, but he lists the mightiest men. He mentions Shammah. Shammah won a great victory by himself. No one else with him, a victory against the Philistines. He lists Abishai. Abishai himself slew 300 men in one great battle. He mentions Benaiah. Benaiah killed a lion in a pit of snow. Likewise, he took a staff and fought a Philistine who had his sword. And with his little wooden staff, he defeated and slew the Philistine who was armed with a sword. David continues listing the mightiest of the mighty men. In his mighty men, somewhere, there were some men from the Philistine camp. They were men led by a man named Ittai, one of the most amazing group of men in all the Bible. There were 600 of these men. These 600 men were David's bodyguards. These were not even Jews. These were men that came from the Philistine camp. Somehow or other, they became enchanted with David, and they wanted to guard him, David's bodyguards. Now, would you let me for a few moments picture the palace where David is resting? Can you picture David at night? His family is all retired. It's late at night. And can you picture these Philistine bodyguards as they walk guard around the palace and around the grounds? Can you see them guarding the gates and guarding the doors of the mansion? These men with their neatly pressed uniforms and their highly glossed boots and their glistening sabers, and these men walking guard smartly around David and David's palace. But one day something happened. David's son Absalom decided that he wanted to be the king. David would not fight his son. His son gathered an army and caused rebellion against his father. And David would not lead his forces against his own son. He goes out to a little place outside the city called Mahanaim, and he watches the dust of battle as it rises, realizing that his own forces are at warfare with the forces of his own son Absalom. On the way out to Mahanaim, a little city outside, a little ways out of Jerusalem, on the way out, David stops to talk to his bodyguards as he leaves the palace. And David says to his bodyguards, "Now, fellas, I'm no longer the king. I'm going out to Mahanaim. The throne is not mine. My hand no longer wields the scepter. My shoulders no longer wear the robe. My body no longer sits on the throne. The people no longer bow before me. I'm not the king anymore. So you fellows going back home now. You came and you guarded me while I was the king. But he said, now, you go on back home now." And they said, "Oh, you understand, Your Highness. We didn't come to guard the king. We came to guard you. You see, we didn't have in mind to guard the palace. We came to guard you. Wherever you are, we're going to be there." And David said, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "You understand." He said, "I'm no longer the king. It may be that my son will sit on the throne, and I've lost my power. And it may be that my hand will never again grasp the scepter, and my shoulders never again will wear the robe, and I never again will sit on the throne." Now, he said, "You've got to understand that I may never be the king again." And they said, "Doesn't matter." And David said, "But you won't even have uniforms. You won't even have the sabers. You'll have to stack arms. You won't have anything." And Ittai said, I love this statement with all my heart. He said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, there also will thy servants be." My soul, what a group of men. What they said is, "Your Majesty, if you're up in the palace, we're your guards. If you're out in Mahanaim, we're your guards. If you're wearing a royal robe, we're your guards. Or if you're wearing the garments of peasantry, we're your guards. If you have men who obey you, we're your guards. If you have nobody who obeys you, we're your guards. If you're on the top side, we're your guards. If you're on the bottom side, we're your guards. Wherever you be, whether you live or whether you die, that's exactly where your servants are going to be." David watches the battle. His heart is broken. He cannot win. If his forces win, his son loses. And no doubt he loses his son, which is exactly what happened. David watches the dust of battle rise in from Jerusalem as he looks, and he cannot win. If his son wins, he loses the throne. If he wins, his son loses and maybe will die. And David watches the dust of battle, and finally it begins to subside. And David saw the dust of battle subside, knowing the war was over now, wondering if the throne was his or his son's, or wondering also how his son fared in the war. He sees a messenger whose name is Ahimeaz running out from the city. He has a message for David. And he comes and salutes David. And David says, I have a question to ask you, Ahimeaz. Is the young man safe? And David says, Ahimeaz says, I think he said, is the young man safe? What do you mean? He said, how is it with my son? And he said, don't you want to know if your king still king? He said, first thing I want to know, how's my boy? But your boy is your enemy. I don't care. How's my boy? Is the young man safe? He said, but don't you want to know if the throne is still yours? He said, yes, but first, is the young man safe? He said, don't you want to know if your hand will someday again wield the scepter? He said, not yet. Is the young man safe? That's what I want to know. My boy means more to me than all the kingdom. Is the young man safe? Ahimeaz said, I don't have the answer for you. David said, step aside. There comes another messenger. Not as fast as Ahimeaz, but more sure. His name is Cushai. Cushai comes up to David, salutes King David, and David says, is the young man safe? Your Highness, don't you want to know if you're still the king? Is the young man safe? Don't you want to know if the throne is still yours? Is the young man safe? Don't you want to know if you still have the royal robe to wear? Is the young man safe? And then he says, no, that young man be as his men are. Absalom is dead. And David runs up alone and gets alone and says, O Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, my son Absalom. O Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. David goes back to Jerusalem. He's king again. He walks inside the palace again. He sits on the throne again. He has the scepter again. He wears the crown upon his brow again. He's the king. His forces have won. And David goes to bed that night, and his tears moisten his pillow. Tears of joy and tears of sorrow. Tears of joy because he's still the king, and tears of sorrow because his boy is dead. And while King David walks, rests in his bed, 600 Philistine men walk around the palace again. They have their shining boots on again. They have their well-pressed uniforms on again. Their sabers glisten like they did. And walking guard around King David. Now, where did these fellows come from? I mean, where'd Adino come from? Oh, I know Adino. He slew 800 men. He came from West Point. That's where he came from. He was the Army Academy, West Point. That's where he came from. No, he didn't either. I wonder where Eliezer, whose hand clave to the sword, where'd he come from? Well, I know he came from officer's candidate school. That's where he came from. Oh, no, he didn't either. I wonder where Shema came from that won the great victory alone. Or Abishai, who slew 300 men by himself. Or Benaiah, who killed a lion in a pit of snow and with a staff defeated a Philistine who was armed with a sword. I wonder where he came from. Where'd all these guys come from? I mean, these David's mighty men, these men of valor, these men of warfare. Let me read for you where they came from. David, it's way back yonder now. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now, this next verse is the same crowd of people that David mentioned when he died. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, hey, you qualify, don't you? And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men, and some came on later. But now, wait a minute. That's where these men came from. Adino, who killed 800 men, a mighty man of David, was one of these. Well, actually, the word distress means lonely, discouraged, and poor.
The word in debt means broke and bankrupt. You understand that, don't you? And the word discontented is a word for insufficient. It means they did not have enough strength. They did not have enough food. They did not have enough money. They did not have enough friends. And they were insufficient. And this motley crowd of broke, bankrupt, lonely, discontented, weak, hungry, friendless people, nobody wanted them. And they said, David, but David was running from Saul. And as he started running from Saul, he came to the cave of Adullam. And these men said, hey, David, could we come with you? And these gangly, strangly kind of people came. I'm sure they looked about like that. And they came and they said, Your Majesty, could we go with you? And David became captain of those men. And those men became David's mighty men. Let me just... Where my tie go? First thing I want to say is look who Jesus welcomes. Look who He welcomes. I mean, distressed, lonely, discouraged, poor, broke, bankrupt. That sounds like your biography, doesn't it? Weak, hungry. That's where I got off the boat right there. Friendless. I'm back on the boat now. Broke. Even hated Philistines. Look who Jesus welcomes. Hot dog, look who He welcomes. Hey, come on, bus kids. You can become one of David's mighty men if you choose to. King Jesus is looking for you. Nobody else wants you, but King Jesus does. Hey, come on, ghetto people. King Jesus is looking for you. He wants you to be one of the King's mighty men. Hey, Mexican immigrant. I was down in Mexico the other day and lined up across on a hill. You could see San Diego across a valley where hundreds of Mexican people ready to escape that night and cross the border. Hey, Mexican immigrant. Not even a citizen of the United States. Neither were the Philistines citizens of Israel either. The King is looking for you. The King wants to use you. You can be one of Jesus' mighty men. Hey, ugliest girl in Hiles Anderson College. Where are you? I've forgotten where you're sitting tonight. You can't get a date? Even your father wouldn't take you out for a hamburger. You and one other girl like you entered a beauty contest and both of you came in second. Hey, King Jesus is looking for you. Nobody else wants you but Jesus does. Nobody else will use you but Jesus will. Hollywood doesn't want you. Broadway doesn't want you. TV crowd doesn't want you. Liquor crowd doesn't want you. Go-go girls crowd doesn't want you. But Jesus said, come to me, I'll make you a mighty follower of me. Hey, come on, the deaf people. Come on. You can be a mighty man. One of Jesus' mighty men. Hey, blind people, crippled people, least likely Hiles Anderson College boy, most unpopular Hammond Baptist High School student, young people tonight dressed in poor clothing. That's the kind of people that made David the king. That's the kind of people that put him on the throne. That's the kind of people kept him alive so he could become the king. King David said, distressed, come ye weary, poor, lame, crippled, broke, ugly, unpopular. Come on, I'm looking for some people to follow me. And if you'll go without, not we won't do tonight, but if you'll go from 1 Samuel chapter 22 to 2 Samuel chapter 23, you'll find those same people, those poor, distressed, lonely, underfed, underclothed people who followed David in 1 Samuel chapter 22 were the very same ones he talked about. You see, Adino wasn't always a mighty man of valor, but he always had a mighty heart of valor. Eliezer was not always a man whose hand played to the sword, but he was always a loyal man. Shema. Won a great victory alone, but wasn't always a great warrior. But he had a heart of love. Look who Jesus uses. I was out preaching in Southern California. A fellow introduced me. It was a Sunday school convention. And those conventions, they often choose somebody to introduce all the speakers. Well, this fellow wasn't very fond of me. By the way, he was not my favorite person either. But he introduced me, and he didn't want to. And he said, folks, he said, this is Hiles. He said, Hiles has a big Sunday school. But he says, he ain't got nothing but a bunch of bus kids is all he's got. I got up and I said, you're right, sir. But I said, they must be pretty wealthy bus kids because they gave $85,000 last Sunday. No, we have more than bus kids, but bless God for the bus kids. I mean, they can be David's mighty men. We have more than deaf people, but bless God for the deaf. They can be David's mighty men. We have more than retarded people, but thank God for the retarded folks. They can be David's mighty men. Give you hope. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you free. Let me tell you something tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the poorest person here, the King's looking for you. Person that's the farthest from God, the King is looking for you. Person here who's farthest in sin, the King is looking for you. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Red like crimson. Brother Howes, you should understand, I'm in a ghetto gang. I've murdered somebody. I'm a gang leader. It doesn't matter. The King's looking for you. But you say, Brother Howes, you understand, I've sold dope on the street corners and I've served time in jail. Doesn't matter. The King's looking for you. You say, preacher, I've been as wicked as the devil. I've done everything there is to do. I've broken every law there is. I've served time in the penitentiary. I don't care. The King's looking for you. He wants you tonight. Nobody else wants you. The King wants you. Nobody else wants you kids over here. I'll tell you who does. Somebody drives an old bus wants you. And the King that sent him out wants you also. I want to say something else. Not only that. Look who Jesus welcomes, but look who Jesus uses. Look who He uses. If someone tonight were to hear across America that a certain preacher has been offered by a wealthy man to take his sermons and put them in book form, and put volume after volume of his books, sermons in book form. If you heard it and didn't know who it was, you'd think of a G. Campbell Morgan. You'd think of a stately man like Spurgeon. You'd think of someone who knows how to outline sermons well and someone who's eloquent and has a bit of elegance. But whom did God burden the heart of Dan Mendenhall? A poor little boy that grew up in Texas in a shack of a house with an alcoholic dad. I'm so glad the King is interested in the leftovers. The King wants to use you. David didn't go down to the West Point of his day or the Annapolis of his day or the Coast Guard Academy of his day or the Air Force Academy of his day, and choose some well-trained men, a bunch of leftovers. Nobody else wanted, but they're loyal, and they love the King. Brother, if you love the King will use you. He'll make you one of His mighty men. I was just thinking, Brother Mendenhall sent me a copy, or at least a dummy copy of the book. No smart cracks either. But it's an elegant book. I mean, it's a leather bound. What kind of hide? Cowhide, leather bound. Beautiful, beautiful book. And I was just thinking about folks going in bookstores across the country and seeing those beautiful books there and opening and reading the first sermon. By the way, you know what it's going to do? He's going to put the sermons in there just like a preacher. We're not going to take out the mean stuff. That's his idea, not mine. And he's promised to take care of all the lawsuits that come, too. Let me tell you something. There's not a person in this room tonight who's less likely to be used of God than I was when I was a little boy. Oh, I don't care who you are. The King of Kings will make you one of His mighty men if you'll just do what He says to do. If someone described the pastor of America's largest church and they did not know who he was and said, "What do you think the pastor of America's largest church would be like?" I'm sure people would say, probably suave, probably cultured, refined. But that's not the kind Jesus uses. He chose a poor little boy whose mama mowed yards for a quarter of a yard and worked for 50 cents a day in a public school lunchroom and walked 2 miles to get there. That's what he chose. If someone described or heard about the chancellor of the world's largest fundamental Baptist college, you didn't know that, did you? I am the chancellor of the world's largest fundamental Baptist college. I demand a raise in pay. In fact, if the college gave me $1, that'd be $1 raise in pay. There's somebody said, "What is he like?" Somebody would have pictured, said, I bet I know how he's like. He's probably walks with this like this. No. He's a little old ragamuffin, hellfire and damnation preacher. Can't even button his collar while he preaches. Yeah. If somebody had said the Bible doesn't tell us who David's mighty men were, whom would you choose? Why, I'd choose a general. I'd choose a well-trained officer. I'd choose a man trained in the academy of their day. But these are leftovers and has-beens and washed-ups and bankrupts and broke people and lonely people and forgotten people and rejected. But praise God, Jesus wants them and He can use them. Somebody said, describe what the man must look like and be like who has more books in print than any other fundamental preacher alive. Think about it now. Think about it. You don't realize who I am, folks. Can I tell you who I am? Tell you who I am. Broke, distressed, very discontented. You'd have pictured some man sitting in behind his desk with a huge library behind him. Not a fellow sitting on an airplane with a Bible in front of him. Not a fellow that didn't even button his collar while he preaches. And by the way, I want to say this again. No man that preaches with his collar buttoned is a fundamentalist. The honest truth is, no man is right with God who's a preacher who has his collar buttoned anywhere, anytime. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you the King can use you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Oh, you say, "Preacher, you mean David used all that riffraff?" Yeah, I used all that riffraff. By the way, you folks are sort of snobbish. You're just riffraff with a high-class suit on. That's all you are. Somebody said that degree behind your name is just like that curly tail on a pig. It's mighty cute, but it's no more pork than if you didn't have it. Now you listen to me. Jesus, the King, is looking for mighty men.
He said, I'll take you. David said, come on, fellas. They said, look, nobody wants us. David said, I do. But David said, I'm not very popular right now. I'm running from Saul. By the way, Jesus is not very popular right now either. I'm running from Saul. It's okay. We'd like to be with you. David said, well, what training do you have, fellows have? Well, we're very loyal. Well, what qualifications? Well, we'll stick with you. Somebody were to tell somebody about a pastor whose church has baptized more converts than any church in the world, I guess for 18, 20 years. They'd picture some dynamic evangelist, not a little old hellfire and damnation preacher. I was down in Mount Vernon, Illinois several years ago. A little lady about 35 years old, blonde, walked up to me and she said, are you the Dr. Jack Hiles? I said, I'm the only one I know of. She said, I've heard about you all my life, but you just don't look like what I thought you'd look like. And I said, and you're not very pretty either. Praise God, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Doesn't matter how much education you've got. Doesn't matter how much popularity you've got. Doesn't matter how pretty you are. Said, and every one of that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And brother, if you'll read 2 Samuel chapter 23, you will find. By the way, David was at the cave of Adullam. And if you read chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, where David listed his mighty men, he says that these men came to him at the cave of Adullam. The same guys that came, these poor people, discontented people, bankrupt people, broke people, weak people, hungry people, friendless people, and discouraged people, lonely people, poor people. I'm not saying that a rich person can't serve God. But I'm saying he can't serve God any more than a poor man can. I'm not trying to say that God doesn't love rich people. I don't want to say that because I happen to need this fellow's help back here right now. And I'm finding myself wishing he weren't here and not knowing how to get out of this trouble I'm in right now. But I want you to serve notice as far as God's concerned. God will use the least little bus kid over here. He slightly hopes as much as he'll use Dan Mendenhall or Jack Hiles. Blessed be God. The King is looking for you. If you mention the world's largest bus ministry, could I have this microphone, please? Anybody home up there? I hate to stop the checker game. Hey, in the PA room. Sorry, you got resurrected from the dead up there. If somebody said, what are the fellows like, the leading bus experts in America today? What are they like? Like that. And worse still, like that. Yeah. Now, who are these people? This guy right here, one of the two outstanding busmen alive today. One of the two best experts in the bus ministry alive today. This guy right here was a bus kid himself down in Louisiana. One of those poor people. Now one of David's mighty men. This fellow right here went to Howells Anderson College, as I've told you, and he came to me and said, I can't pass. And it's right. You ought to see his transcript. Looks a lot like my house. But anyway, but here he is. If you had told me Roy Moffat would ever been on the staff of First Baptist Church, I'd have called you a liar. If you told me right now that I'll keep him on the staff, I'd call you a liar. There he is. A lot of big shots would love to have the influence on America those men have. If somebody asks you to describe the person that's the outstanding, has the best and biggest Spanish-speaking ministry, fundamental ministry in the world today, Elmer Fernandez, the honest, simple truth is, he's not here tonight. He's not well, and he had to take his vacation early. But Elmer Fernandez is the outstanding Spanish-speaking fundamental pastor in the world today. Where did God pick him up? He escaped Cuba when Castro took over. What I'm trying to say is these are my mighty men. These men didn't come from Harvard and Yale. Well, he came from Princeton, but we got it out of him. These men didn't come from the Rochester Seminary and Southwestern Seminary. These are not the elegant men. These are cruds. You can tell it.
Bless God. A lot of these big boys wish they could be in the place these mighty men we have tonight are. The king is looking. And how may you volunteer to become one of these mighty men? Number one is you forget being a mighty man. You forget it. You just think about being good to the king. Protect the king. Defend the king. Brag on the king. Love the king. Walk with the king. Forget whether you're big or not. These men never said, Your Highness, we'll come with you if you'll make us one of your mighty men. And when you die, you'll tell about us. They said, Your Highness, let us just follow you around. We know you're running from King Saul. We know that your life's in danger. We heard about King Saul throwing his javelin at you. We heard that only his son Jonathan kept you from dying time and time again. And we know that you're lonely, and we know that you're God's man. Let us just go with you. Let us just be with you. Just protect you. That's all. That's all we need. Second thing you do, you enlist while the king is down. They didn't apply to become the king's bodyguards, the king's helpers, or the king's mighty men. They walked up when the king was down. In fact, he wasn't even king yet. Running for his life. Saul was going to kill him. I mean, the king of Israel was trying to kill him. And these men died. They volunteered to die. What do you do to enlist? Then you stay with him when he's up. What else do? You stay with him when he's down again. David was down, running from Saul. These men stayed with him. David was up on the throne. These men stayed with him. David was in Mahanaim with his son fighting against his own forces. These men stayed with him. Just do all you can for Jesus. He'll use you. The people here tonight, 30 years ago, last August, when I became pastor, they voted for me. They were there when we had the reception welcoming the pastor and his family. I was 32 years old. Weighed 170 pounds. Now I'm 63. And I finally got your attention, didn't I? I weigh more than 170 pounds. But you were here. You were here the first Sunday. Everything was on top side. And then within a year, the battle started. There are folks tonight. You stayed. You stayed and trusted a kid preacher you didn't even know. From a different part of the country, different civilization almost, different background. But you didn't say we're going to be loyal to a preacher when he's popular. You said we're going to be loyal to our preacher. And then the battle was over. And we had years of prosperity and years of blessing like no other church has ever known. We saw buildings go up. We saw buildings burned. You saw me build buildings and you saw me tear one down. I'll never forget that night at Deacon's meeting when I called them in together to make the announcement that we'd torn a building down we didn't own.
I looked out at those men. There's an emergency meeting. They said, how much money do you want? Money do you want this time? I said, fellas, didn't call you together to ask for money. I called you together to tell you I love you. And to thank you for sticking with me through thick and thin. I had some imminent thin coming up. And I won't go into the story. You've heard it on the first and third Sundays for many years. Except I'll never forget that night when we stayed there 2 or 3 hours, and those men, those deacons, told me they loved me and that they were for me. What I'm trying to say is this. When I've been down, there are people tonight who stood beside the preacher. When I've been up, we broke ground for this building right here. When we built our Baptist City complex, when we bought the college and raised the money to buy the college, and all these victories. And then 1989 came. But you didn't become a member of this church just to be on top with a preacher. You became a member of this church to stick with a preacher. And thank God you did. And that's what these men did. They said, King David, can we go with you? We're not much, just like you're not much. I'm not much, just common people. Could we go with you? We're not much. We don't have any money. If you took an offering, we couldn't give anything. We're not very strong. We're weak. We're not famous. We're not even trained. We'd like to go with you. And they went with him. And they stood with him as Saul chased him. And then when the victory came, and David was anointed king over Judah, and then king over all of Israel, and he became the king, those men stood with him. Then when the dark hours came, when his son forsook him, he had to leave the city because he would not lift up his sword against his son. These men stood with him. And then when he came back to the palace and once again was the king, these men stood with him. I'll tell you something tonight. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, the king is looking for you. The King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, preacher, I don't deserve to be a Christian. Join the crowd. Who does? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come tonight and trust the Savior. Oh, but you say, Brother House, doesn't matter what you've done. Oh, but you say, doesn't matter what you are, doesn't matter who you are, the King, every sin of your life can be forgiven tonight if you'll come to the King. After a while, we're going to sing. All over this great sea of faces I see tonight, the scattered people who don't know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You said, Brother Hiles, would he forgive me? Oh, yes, he would. You can walk out those doors tonight with your name written in heaven, the same Lamb Book of Life that my name is in tonight. You can walk out the door tonight with every sin hidden from God the Father, your sins behind His back. And if tomorrow morning, if an angel came up to God the Father and said, hey, that person got saved last night. Boy, he was a bad one, wasn't he? And God the Father says, I don't remember. I mean, boy, when you come under the blood, you give God forgetfulness. And tonight, if you're here and you have much to offer, God will use you. About to go home, aren't you? Don't do that. Stay with the King when he's down. On the job, stay with the King while they're cursing him. While fundamentalism's on top side, stick with the truth. And when fundamentalism has a little valley, stick with the truth. Stand beside him. And say with those 600 Philistine soldiers who said, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King will be, shall be, whether in death or life, there will we, thy servants, be also. Volunteer tonight. The King wants to use you. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm sort of small. I'm about 5 foot, and I'm the smallest girl in the college. The King will use you. Brother Hiles,
I'm not very pretty. My nose comes out of where my ear is supposed to be, and my ear is where my nose is supposed to be. It doesn't matter. God can use you. The king's looking for you. That's where David got his mighty men. And the old man is dying. The same one I preached about this morning who said, I'll praise thee more and more and ask God to use him in his old age. Now the old age is gone and David is dying. On his deathbed, he said, I want to thank God for Adino. And I want to thank God for Eliezer. I want to thank God for Shema. I want to thank God for those men, my mighty men. One of these days, they're going to have the judgment seat of Christ, and our King is going to talk about our battles on earth. A lot of people are going to stand up, and Jesus, when he points out his mighty men, it's going to shock you who some of them are. It's going to shock you. Tonight, if you're not saved, when we stand and sing in a moment, you come to Christ. He wants you. And tonight, if you're not serving him, you say, preacher, God couldn't use me. Oh, yes, God can use you. You say, I'm distressed. Good. You qualify for one of the mighty men. But I'm poor. Welcome. You qualify to be a mighty man. But I'm broke. Good. You qualify to be a mighty man. But I'm lonely and unpopular. Good. You qualify to be a mighty man. But I'm weak. Good. You qualify to be a mighty man. For the house, I'm friendless. Okay, join the crowd. You qualify to be one of David's mighty men. Amen. Won't you join up? Sign up tonight. Won't you join tonight? Our Heavenly Father.